Everyone, my name is Marcus. I was here for 4 years, partially as a student minister, and then we just kept hanging around. And now I have a job in the parish, so that's nice. You can't get rid of me, I'm a bad smell. Today we're going to continue our vision series in the book of Colossians. Last week Phil came and spoke from the first part of this chapter, but I wanted to remind you about the Life Course, which is coming up. There should be a slide on the screen. The Life Course is a great opportunity for you or people you know to think just a little bit more about the claims of Jesus, to see that he is the one who offers eternal life to us all, eternal life not just being life forever, but life to the full. And so if you're someone or if you know someone who would be interested, or even if they're not interested, who you think should be interested in investigating Jesus, then bring them along to the Life Course. It starts on, does anyone remember from last week? 17th of May, that's right. There was a test, Phil was right. Anyway, for now, why don't we dig into Colossians? But I'll pray to start us. Father, as we think about your plans for the world, give us hearts that love Jesus, the image of the invisible God, who died for us and rose again. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, just to start us today, I want to address the elephant in the room. I think it's blatantly obvious, but I've heard no one say anything about it. Even when I was a student minister here at Bexley North, no one said anything. And even as I've joined the staff team, still, no one has mentioned this elephant in the room. And I'm genuinely surprised. Phil came here last week. He even spoke about it, but he didn't address the elephant lying behind it all. And so right now, with all the courage I can muster, I'm going to say it. Here it is. The elephant in the room. Our church's vision statement has no location. No location. Have you ever noticed? Glorifying God by proclaiming Jesus, growing disciples, serving together. But where? Where are we trying to make this happen? In St. George North? In Sydney? Across the globe? Is our aim to do this everywhere? And while we're thinking about these things everywhere, you've probably noticed that we regularly pray for our mission partners. We even just heard from Lama, people taking the gospel all over the world. Lama in Vietnam, the McDowells in Paraguay. Why? Why? I don't know anyone in Paraguay. They're not my friends and family. Why should I care? Because I have friends and family who don't trust Jesus. Mums and dads at the school gate, kids at the preschool, so many people all around me who haven't heard the gospel. And so why should we as a church care about people overseas across the globe hearing the gospel? Why should we pray? Why should we give our money? Why should we care about world mission? Well, we care because of who Jesus is. Because the person of Jesus gives us all the reason to pray for our mission partners, to give to the gospel going overseas, and even to consider going ourselves. Because the spreading of the gospel is about the purposes of Jesus, not our own. And he wants to see all people in all places, everywhere, turn to him. And so let's take a look at our passage now. And the first thing that we see is that Jesus is incredible. We care about world mission because Jesus is incredible. So take a look at Colossians 1 verse 15, the beginning of our passage today. Starts with this. He, and it's talking about Jesus here, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. I don't know if you've noticed this, But Jesus is no ordinary person. He is the exact representation of God, and not just a representation, not just a bare image. Take a look at what it says in verse 19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. The fullness of God. The God who transcends the entire universe in the form of a human being. Isn't that incredible? When you see the person of Jesus standing in front of you, you see God in flesh. Doesn't that blow your mind? Because that would mean that Jesus, the human being, is the incarnation of the God who created the universe in Genesis 1. And that's what this passage says. So take a look at verse 16. Verse 16. For some things? No. Everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. Look at what it says. All things have been created through him and for him. So not only did Jesus make the Great Barrier Reef, the Grand Canyon, and the Milky Way, but he also made the immaterial things that we experience. The authority of kings, rulers, and presidents, all good things that we as human beings have corrupted. And so literally everything that we see and experience day to day, all throughout our lives, was all made by the Son of God. Now, some of you might know that I myself am I'm somewhere between 1/16th and 1/8th Swedish. That's my cousin. And what this means, being, you know, probably closer to 1/8th Swedish, is that I have a natural affinity for flat pack furniture and meatballs. And so every once in a while, I'll take a trip down to IKEA, go down to Tempe, and I'll finally feel at home. And then I buy some boxes, and I return to my home, and I put some cubes together, and I feel pretty pleased with myself. And I'll turn to my wife, Gnomes, and I'll say, Gnomes, look what I did. I made some cubes. But when I think about Jesus, who by his own power made the trees that the cubes are made from, made the concrete that holds up the building in Tempe, made the people who designed and sold me the cubes, that he made it all from nothing. He made it from nothing. When I look at Colossians 1, I realize just how incredible Jesus is. And he's not only incredible in power and creativity, but he's incredible in grace and mercy too. Because even though we were made by Jesus, we were at war with him. So take a look at verse 21. Paul puts it brilliantly in verse 21. Once you were alienated and hostile in your minds, as expressed in your evil actions. And here's what Jesus did. But now, right now, he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. See, Jesus is so indescribably different to us. I don't know if you've noticed, but human beings, almost any time hostility comes from one side, hostility comes back in return. But even though we were hostile to God, Jesus loves us. He loves us. Do you see? Do you know how incredible Jesus is? And he is your Savior, who gave his life for you, for me, even though we were his enemies. And so the only right response when we see this Jesus is to fall on our knees and worship him. And the only reason that we would get up off of our knees is because running is faster than crawling. And we are desperate to go and tell Jesus, go tell people about how incredible Jesus is, to point them to the only person who conquered death for good. And that's what we want to do both here and everywhere. Because when they see how good Jesus is and when they live for him, they get to live out and we get to live out what we are made for. And that's because Jesus is also the purpose for it all, the second point in our outline. And so take a look at verse 16 again, and we'll see that Jesus is the purpose for everything. Verse 16, "For everything was created by him, in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him," and what's the purpose? "For him." Jesus doesn't just make it and throw it away, disregard it like it's nothing to him. No, he makes it for himself, to be his, to honor him, to worship him, to do his will, to live as people made in his image, to display his glory. Have you realized that the purpose of human life, of your life and mine, is to be for Jesus? Not for ourselves, but to be for Jesus. And that means the best thing for us and for everyone else on this planet is that Jesus is honored and that they would honor Jesus. That everything about us, our time, our money, even the desires of our heart, are all meant to be for his glory. That's what we're made for, and that's what Jesus saved us for. And when we accept that forgiveness, we find freedom in living that way. See, I think this idea helps us move beyond thinking only about those around us, right? Because we rightly, and I think this is a good thing, we rightly spend lots of times thinking about how we can share Jesus, how we can proclaim the gospel with our community. And that's because we genuinely love them, don't we? And we know that without Jesus, people go to hell. And Jesus wants us to love them too. Because he's the Savior who searches for the lost coin. He's the Savior who searches for the lost sheep, who dies in our place so that we'll be saved. Because our King Jesus, cares for the lost. And so it's right for us to do that too. Every day I pray that we as a parish would love the people around us and share the gospel with them so that they would be saved from hell. And yet at the same time, we remember that everything is for Jesus' sake, which means proclaiming the gospel, telling people about Jesus, is firstly for Jesus' sake. See, when we proclaim the gospel, when we do evangelism, we do it for Jesus before we do it for the person in front of us. Because we want Jesus to get what he deserves. We want Jesus to get everything they are, everything they have, to get all the glory from their lives. Even if we don't know them. Even if we don't like them. Even if they're on the other side of the globe. See, Jesus being the purpose for it all helps us to reorder our own desires in evangelism. It's right for us to want people around us to know Jesus and to be saved, but we need to keep Jesus' glory at the center of these things. And that means we will preach the gospel to anyone because we want Jesus to be glorified because he deserves the lives of all people everywhere. And so we take the gospel to our workplaces, we take the gospel to our schools, our preschools, we take the gospel to our homes. But we also send people with the life-saving message of Jesus. Here's how 2 Corinthians 5 puts it. It should come up on the screen. 2 Corinthians 5. "What drives him? For the love of Christ compels us, since we have reached this conclusion, that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all so that those who live should do what? no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. Our love for Jesus means that we desire all people everywhere to live for him. But they won't do that. In fact, they can't do that unless they're reconciled to him. And that brings me to my third point on the outline, but take a look at verse 19. Verse 19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through himself to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven. How? By making peace through his blood shed on the cross. In the person of Jesus, all things are reconciled to him by his death on the cross. That means everyone from everywhere, people from every tribe, language, nation, and tongue can be saved by Jesus. See, the opportunity for reconciliation isn't like trying to join the royal family. It's not exclusive to people of a certain lineage. It's not even exclusive to people who like playing polo. No, Jesus died to reconcile all peoples everywhere to himself. And this was God's plan all along, wasn't it? See, in Genesis 12, God's blessing of Abraham. It should come up on the screen, Genesis 12. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And who's going to be blessed? All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And then take a look at Zechariah 2. Many nations will join themselves to the Lord on that day and become my people. And we see it in the Great Commission as well, one of the most helpful verses as we think about proclaiming the gospel in all places. Should come up on the screen. Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of who? Of all nations. We even saw it in our psalm reading earlier today. Because God's heart is one that sees people from all nations, all tongues being saved to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Later today in our service, we're going to be singing a song called Oh for a Thousand Tongues. And I think it's a really helpful song for us to sing. It's going to encourage us to go to the nations and proclaim the gospel so that all tongues, all languages, thousands of languages, thousands of tongues would sing our great Redeemer's praises. And so all people can be reconciled to God. But then take a look at how Paul clarifies that this doesn't mean that everyone is saved from judgment. So take a look at verse 22. Verse 22 of the passage, Colossians 1, verse 22. But now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. If indeed, you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith and are not shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you heard. See, this reconciliation between us and God happens through trust in Jesus. It's through faith that this reconciliation back to God is given to us. See, that's why when we send people, we don't send them to set up government programs. We don't send them to give away food. We don't send them to build hospitals. No, we send them with the life-saving message of the gospel. We send them to preach, to put their faith in the only person who can be their savior, that's Jesus. Because if people don't hear this life-giving news and they don't put their trust in Jesus, they'll continue to reject him. And judgment is coming. But again, this is our desire for all people everywhere. Because seeing people worship Jesus is our great hope. firstly for his sake, and then for their own. But in all this, I hope you can see how brilliantly good Jesus is. And I hope that helps you to see why we send people, why we send Lama, why we send the McDowells. Because we want Jesus proclaimed everywhere. We want Jesus proclaimed everywhere because he is incredible. We want Jesus proclaimed everywhere so that he gets the glory that he deserves. We want Jesus proclaimed everywhere because reconciliation and hope is only found in him. And I think that's why it's helpful that our vision statement has no location. Because we want this in St. George North, yes, don't we? We desperately want this in St. George North, but we also want Jesus honoured everywhere. And so how can we see this happen? How can we, you know, there's what, about 100 of us here, across the parish, maybe about 500 people. Think about how many people there are across the globe. Billions. And so how are we, just a couple of people here in St. George North, going to see people from all across the globe praising Jesus? Well, the first thing we do is we take responsibility for proclaiming Jesus here in St. George North. And so that means we do all the things that we heard Phil talk about last week. We proclaim Jesus in our workplaces. We grow disciples. We serve together at things like church and youth on a Friday, right here in St. George North. And if you're not doing those things already, get started today. And then we think globally. And here I think CMS has really nailed it. Because CMS has this slogan, should come up on the screen, pray, give, go. And just for a moment, I want to think about each of those things. And let's start with prayer. It's really interesting that in the Bible, Paul, the great missionary, desired and rejoiced in people's prayers. So take a look at Romans 15. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, through our Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, to do what? To strive together with me in prayers to God on my behalf. And then later in Colossians 4, later in the book we're currently reading from, he says this, at the same time, pray also for us. Why? That God may open a door to us for the word. See, we believe in a loving, powerful, mighty, reconciling God. And so praying for our mission partners is a no-brainer, isn't it? Pray for their godliness. Pray for their resilience. Pray for their language learning. Pray for their housing. And pray for the things that they ask for. Pray as earnestly for Lama's students as you would your own co-workers. Because did you see how excited Lama was for your prayers? How much he loved knowing that you are praying for him. Now today, over morning tea, you have an opportunity to sign up to the prayer emails for all of our congregation, mission partners. And it's just a little bit easier than usual. As you can probably see on the walls, we've got these QR codes. Now, if you follow this, you'll be able to get signed up to pray, to receive the prayer letters for all of our missionaries. There'll also be some cards up the back on the table. There you'll also be able to find a flyer for the life course. Take one of those, give it to a friend. But make sure you sign up to pray for our mission partners. And make sure you pray. The other thing to do is to give. To partner financially with our mission partners. And as we think about this, we've got to think about what we've seen in Colossians 1, don't we? Because do you remember that we saw that all things are for Jesus? All things are for Jesus. And so even if it's our money, it belongs to Jesus. And so we use it for Jesus' purposes, which, as we've seen, is to draw people from all places to himself. Now, we often think that giving to proclaiming Jesus is the thing that we do after everything else is sorted. We get the job, we get the house, we get the lifestyle, then we sort out our gospel generosity. But this vision of Jesus in Colossians flips it all on its head, doesn't it? All of it, every single cent that we have, is for the sake of Jesus. And so our first thought when we get our paycheck ought to be, what can I give for the sake of the gospel, both here in St. George North and overseas? Because when you give to church, it allows us to proclaim Jesus at the life course to all who come. And when you give to the McDowells in Paraguay, you allow them to read the Bible with people when there might be no other Christians in those villages. And when you give, here's a new one, when you give to the Konings in France, you allow a church to be planted in a city that rejected Jesus years and years and years ago. And just as an aside, we as a church are really excited about partnering with the Konings. We're actually going to have a supporters afternoon today. You might remember the Konings from a couple of years ago. They came over from France to learn about church and how to run a church and all that kind of stuff. We gave them some training. We sent them back. They're about to go plant a church in 5 months, and there's going to be a supporters afternoon tea. Josh is going to tell us a bit more about that later. But how good of that is an opportunity to partner with them financially? Now, we as a church, we think giving to mission partners is so important that we want everyone here today, each individual, every family, to consider how we can be generous to both church here and to world mission. Because that means we each get to cheerfully and joyfully give to seeing the gospel go to places like France, Vietnam and Paraguay. And so as you pick up a supporter card up the back off the table, as you pick up a supporter card in the foyer, do it with a Jesus-focused, gospel-minded, generous heart. As you take a flyer, think about what you'll give to see the gospel proclaimed everywhere. And I'll say this, that seeing Jesus worshipped and glorified throughout the world is better than anything that money can buy. But finally, that brings me to go. And I've got a question up on the screen. Are you someone that could go overseas to proclaim Jesus? Are you someone that could go overseas to proclaim Jesus? I think too many of us probably too easily dismiss that question, don't we? Even I didn't want to ask it. I've just started a great job here at St. George North. I want to shrink away from this question. But let me ask it again. Are you someone that could go overseas to proclaim Jesus? Because Jesus gives us every reason to go, to proclaim his greatness to all people everywhere. And so, will you go? Will you go? Let's pray. Our great and gracious God, we fall humbly at the feet of Jesus, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, the one who made all things and whom all things are for. Father, glorify Jesus in this world and use us to see it happen. Give us boldness to proclaim Jesus here and give us generous hearts so that we might support those who go out from us to proclaim the name of your Son Jesus. And Lord, if it's your will, we pray that you might help us to go ourselves, all for the sake of your kingdom and your glory. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.